This whole issue of using North American models, approaches of peace building is an issue that I've worked on it and, you know, written about it also since I graduated and began working. One of my first realization in this field is that you can't really do that. You can't really go to a non-American context and take a manual that you have written for a group in Boston or in Fairfax County in the US and use it in a rural area in Mindanao or in Sri Lanka or in Palestine or in Bosnia or other place. You need to be more, I guess, you be more open, flexible, as well as tuned to what are the skills, expertise that the people you work with bring to the table or bring to the workshop, and not really assume that you're starting from zero, but assume exactly the opposite, that the people that you're working with are capable of resolving their conflict. Not only that, that they have the skills, the required skills, and necessary one for them to resolve as well as improve their relationship. If you have that those few assumptions, flexibility, openness, and the assumption that the people you're working with are capable of helping themselves as well as dealing with the situation, then I think you will rely less and less on a prescriptive manuals and approaches that are created for businessmen or people who are in a corporation setting, like you know, getting to yes or all these books of conflict resolution in the US. So this is one of the things that we've learned, is that you focus on the principles of conflict resolution, the principles of peace building, and those principles, I'll assume that they're basically, I'm hesitant to say generic across all cultures, but you know, pretty much common to many cultures, including North America and or the North and the South. For instance, one of those principles we work with is the issue of equity and fairness. In any process you help to design or any intervention model, you follow that anything you will do have to meet or to be able to meet the equity and the fairness standard of the two parties. Or working with the issue of symmetry in terms of design of the process, that everyone has to be represented and on equal basis or and in a way that everyone have the chance to express what they want. You try to use basic human needs approach, where you know you would have more generic, more commonalities among people, regardless their race or culture. All people need security, all people need their recognition, and all people need to be respected and recognize. And when you follow these criteria, the issue become how different culture express these issues, and then how do you help people negotiate those John Burton called them satisfiers of those basic human needs. And I think that's something you can't bring from Boston, from ICAR, from American University. You have to use local ways of negotiation. Another principle that, you know, guide our work has to do with the issue of cooperation that we bring into the conflict resolution setting, the assumption that instead of destructive competition, if people construct cooperative forums to resolve their problems, joint forums, they will be more effective and they'll save a human life and resources in resolving those conflicts. Now, how do you do it in terms of techniques? whether you use listening techniques from Boston or listening techniques from Gaza, I think that's obvious that you should not use the Boston technique of talking, listening, and acting in Gaza. You need to be able to allow the Gazan, you need to allow the Egyptian, you need to allow the Filipino and the others to devise, reach, improve, construct their own ways to achieve listening, or the learn the skill of listening, or the communication, or the problem solving, or whatever technique you're trying to teach. The same thing for dialogue, which I think a technique we all use, and you know, dialogue, conflict resolution, negotiation, mediation, all of these techniques have been used not only in the North or in the North America context, but every culture around the world has its own technique that in which they conduct dialogue, in which they conduct mediation, and other forms of conflict resolution. So you use the local techniques and tools and ways according to the principles. You don't change the principle, but what you do, you adjust to the local traditional dispute resolution.
So you do bring your own principles to the local context.
Yes, and you know, the debate, you know, whether you bring anything external. Yeah, I think, you know, we all bring our own values and our own assumptions into this work. And the values and assumptions I shared with you are the things you bring in. The asymmetry, the cooperation, the concept of nonviolence is one of the principles we bring, is that anything we devise or design in order to resolve conflict has to meet the standard, the principle of nonviolence. And you know, some of these things you have to make a decision, and you bring them in fully aware that you're bringing in set of values that might in many cases contradict with the local culture or with the local norms that you're working with, especially if you work in a war zone area where the norm to resolve the conflict or dispute is violence, and you're coming in with a totally contradictory assumption and introducing nonviolence. But the issue, you know, that many of us are not aware that we bring those assumptions. But I think one of the things that I found it helpful is if you lay those assumptions in the front or in the beginning of your work with any outside group, by saying, these are the principles that guide my work. The techniques are going to come from you, and all I do mainly make sure that we are moving within or according to those principles. That's why sometimes the opposition groups or the NGOs find our work in terms of international peace building in war zone area as a transformative, as a political tool for a change, or a tool for political change. They found it, you know, feasible or possible to use it toward that end.